This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's going to be a warming trend this weekend. In fact, temperatures coming up near 70 on Monday. We have the forecast a little later in the hour, but we're here talking sports until 1 o'clock before the Pirates take on the Detroit Tigers down in Lakeland, Florida. Matthew Harkins, Matty Ice, is behind the ice. Hello, Matty Ice. How are you today? Everything well?
Everything's going great, except
good.
For the rain, but hey,
yeah. It's warmer, so you'll take the rain, but it's going to get out of here a little bit later, so who knows what you can do over the weekend if you have plans. Meanwhile, I want to remind you that our show is brought to you by number one Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. And we'll talk to you on the fan text line as well if you would like to do that instead of call. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. All right, busy, busy times. NFL never takes a break, as you know. A combine is going on in Indianapolis. Quarterbacks will be on the field today. Quarterbacks are always a prime discussion. And that would be the same case here in Pittsburgh because there's still too many uncertainties as they move forward. Kenny Pickett will be back, you know that. He will likely be the starter coming into this season, or at least the guy who's looked at as the top of the depth chart. The big thing coming up here before you would think this combine or the start of the business for 2024 takes place on March 13th, I think it is what the Steelers do with Mason Rudolph. Their intention seems to be bringing him back. However, this whole Justin Fields conversation, which started hot and then really went cold, now may be heating up again, and here's why. Because it seems like Chicago is kind of left between a rock and a hard place right now. Everyone knows they got the number one pick and most likely will go with Caleb Williams or one of the quarterbacks on top. If they do that, you know that Justin Fields not going to play if they draft a quarterback one overall. So there is a market. There was a hot market for him, it sounded like, earlier in the winter. But now it seems like not much is happening. And the longer it goes, the worse it may get as far as a return for Chicago. So what do they do? Do they just keep waiting and trying to play it so that they're making people think they may bring Justin Fields back? A lot of this is, gamesmanship that these GMs play and coaches play, trying to divert you from away from what their original intent will be. Matt Eberflus said this week that, we're going to do what's best for Justin Fields. Well, they're going to do what's best for them, number one. The question is, how many teams want Justin Fields at this point? And that's going to be a real issue. Because if you look at what he's been able to do, the talent is there. There's no question. And remember, the Steelers were very interested. I think that year where he was drafted, the Steelers had the 24th pick. And Chicago got him at 11th or 12th, something like that. So they didn't really have a chance. And they weren't going to trade up to do it. But they were certainly intrigued with the mobility. Mike Tomlin talks a lot about that. And the mobility has been very well on display in Chicago, where he's rushed for, I think, over 2,200 yards in his time there in 3 years. You know, he's thrown touchdowns, but he's thrown a lot of interceptions, too. He's not that good as a starter in terms of his overall record. And yet, last year, you would have thought that that would manifest itself in a bigger record for the Chicago Bears. They had the number one rushing offense. They had one of the best defenses against the run. They had the things that coaches like, the foundation things that make it almost enticing to be a quarterback. And yet, they were terrible to the point they have the number one overall pick, and he's a part of it. Too many turnovers. So the asking price may go down. And so I ask you this morning, if you call it 412-928-9370, again, it's 412-928-9370, if the asking price fell, and it seems to be falling, to a third-round pick, okay, would you do this? Or are you just so committed to what you have with Kenny Pickett and potentially bringing back Mason Rudolph that you're not going to bring him in? Because if you bring him in, then there's all sorts of issues about who starts, because if you're acquiring, quite frankly, Justin Fields, you're going to start him, right? He has a fifth-year option due. You're not going to bring him in here with the intent to be a backup. And if you say he's going to challenge for the job and there'll be a competition, it may make it very difficult for Kenny Pickett. Now, I should, you know, if you're the Steelers, you shouldn't be concerned, I don't think, of how someone reacts to competition. If anything, that should make you feel better about somebody's makeup and character. They would want the competition, regardless of who the competition is. But I just don't see that happening for a lot of reasons. Money would be one of them. And then certainly Mason Rudolph, if he found that to be the case. And I would imagine a trade is going to get done here. You would think in the next week, 2 weeks, that the signal would be sent that Mason Rudolph would be gone, because he's not going to come back here if you have Pickett and Fields. What would you do, though, for a third-round pick? And if you have an opportunity to get something at a very reduced price that could be huge for your franchise, would you do it? I would like to hear from you at 412-928-9370. Steelers do have a couple of second-round picks they can throw out there. They're certainly not going to mess with their first-round pick. At least I don't think so. They need help on the interior part of their defense and offense, offensive line, defensive line. I think that's the most logical place for them to go, and there's some pretty good players who could come right in here and do that. Now, if you're Chicago and you find there's no market for Justin Fields, and all of a sudden you'll be giving him away, you know, they might decide to keep him. I think that's a long shot, but they might decide to keep him and then trade that pick and bring in assets. You know, they have some playmakers, I think, on that offensive side of the ball. If they add somebody like Harrison, the wide receiver from Ohio State, if they add more pieces, you can make Justin Fields look a lot better. If you believe that he can, you know, become a better down-the-field passer, if he could reduce the turnovers. And part of that were a lot of fumbles. So, you know, I don't know. I really think that a deal has to happen sooner rather than later, because to me, the longer the Bears wait, the worse it gets in terms of a return. And at one point, you're probably thinking there was a return and that could be a first-round pick. Well, that's gone. Now it could be second, maybe even third. So what do you do? How long do you wait at 412-928-9370? Also, you know, there's a lot of veteran releases going on here, and there's going to be a lot of people available. The problem with this, if you're the Steelers, is you don't have as much cap space as a lot of these teams. New England, which obviously needs help, a lot of help. They just released J.C. Jackson, who's been a pretty good player and also a very expensive player, so that they have now overtaken the Washington football team with cap space available. They have $100 million available in New England. Now, they need a quarterback there, but they also need more. They need, you know, foundational help, infrastructure help for their team. If you're going to bring in a top-tier quarterback, you don't want him to just get, you know, the David Carr treatment when he was with Houston, and 99 sacks or 78 sacks, whatever he had in his first year on the job. You want to have some infrastructure in place. Washington, $91 million in cap space. They released a few guys this week. Logan Thomas, I think, was among them, and others. The Eagles have a lot of people have money to spend. So there are opportunities out there. The Steelers might well dip into that free agency to talk about, again, inside linebacker, depending on how they view that. There are some pretty good cornerbacks out there, but being true to themselves means that they are going to defer to the one thing that they take pride in is a draft. Now, it's not always been great, but last year was a very good draft. You can help yourself and bring in guys who can play immediately at a very cheap rate compared to some of these guys who cost such much money in the free agent market. I mean, some of these contracts are out there. I was looking at, you know, Carolina's in a tough position with Brian Burns. He is a really good defensive player, but he also wants a lot of money. He wants like $30 to $35 million a year. There was once a time where Carolina could have traded him. A couple of teams were interested, and first-round picks were being discussed. He is a possibility in free agency, or I should say tag and trade. He doesn't get to that point, but tag and trade. They can actually franchise tag him, wait, and then come up with a trade. T. Higgins is another one. Even though he's got franchise tag money at $21 million, that doesn't mean he can't be traded. And quite frankly, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals may want to do that because they have to deal with the Burrow contract, which they already signed, but they also have Ja'Marr Chase, who I don't think is signed longer term. They're going to have to deal with him. Do you want to give $21 million to T. Higgins on a franchise, or would you trade him? You might be able to get some nice picks. But back to Burns, the reason Carolina might be interested in moving him, tag and trade, if you want to call it that, is because they don't have much of anything. You know, they're in a situation where they don't have a first-round pick this year. They gave that away. What are you going to do with him coming back on a bad team? It'd be better to utilize that as, you know, assets. If you can do that, you can certainly help yourself short term. So when I open all that up, it's, you know, it's combine time. There are a lot of guys out there making impressions. There are a lot of guys out there who are going to move up and down, you know, potential draft boards, and the Steelers are certainly surveying all of this right now in Indianapolis. 412-928-9370 is that number. Also want to get into the Penguins, who suffered a loss, one they couldn't afford, I don't think, at Seattle the other day. Grubauer pitches a shutout. Malkin's struggles continue. They continue to just, you know, go on a treadmill, not moving up or down, just staying where they are, which is not good as time continues to tick, tick, tick away. They don't have many games to right the ship, which leads us into next Friday's deadline. No, Penguins are in a situation where they have to make a decision here, I think. And, you know, Kyle Dubas has been waiting to figure this out. He's kind of doubled down on giving them an opportunity as a team to take a step forward, and they started well enough. But, you know, a big win, I thought, the other day against Vancouver when they're down 2-0 on the road against the best team in the NHL, and they came away with a 4-3 overtime win on a nice goal by Erik Karlsson. But they follow that up, even though they had, I thought, some of the better of the play early in that game against Seattle. They couldn't score, and it's 2-0, your final score there. So now they have back-to-backs this weekend with Calgary, with Edmonton. You got to win these games. They're going to see Edmonton twice, part of the remaining games left for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they got to dig out from this deficit. What do you think they should do? What will Kyle Dubas do at the trade deadline? 412-928-9370. We'll get into that. And I also want to get into the Pirates a little bit because we got a spring training game coming up here today. We saw Paul Skeens for the first time the other day. One inning, got over 100 on the gun, very efficiently done. One guy I want to see take a major step forward is Quinn Priester. And he looks different. You know, he's spent this offseason kind of bulking up. He needs to utilize that to get back to where he was with the fastball velocity, which really was the big story with him, I thought, last year. When he came up, I was expecting him to be one of those, you know, big dudes who's going to strike a lot of people out. He wasn't. He couldn't get that ball into the high 90s at all. It was sort of mid-90s, low-90s. And as a result, he really struggled in his first go-around here with the Pirates to the point where he had a 6-plus ERA. He's giving up home runs left and right. So it looks like maybe he can turn the corner. Maybe that's a great learning experience. One of the things you know about sports is you can't always just write people off. It's too easy to do that. Sometimes it takes years for people to develop. I think Mitch Keller is a pretty good example of that. When he was first here, everybody thought, untouchable, he's going to be the ace. He may not be the ace, but what he's turned himself into through struggles is a pretty good pitcher. One that they decided to re-sign. 5 years, $77 million. Good deal for them. Should be a good deal for him, for sure. But they still need pitching help there. They need, eventually, guys internally. Skeens will not start. No matter what, he can go 30 scoreless innings in the spring. He won't start here with good reason. They want to protect another year with him. But he will be up here, and hopefully sooner than later. But Priester's going to be a key also. He's a former number one pick. They need him to take a step forward. So I'm going to be watching him. Ronzi Contreras pitches today. What will he be? Is he going to be somebody who also takes time to develop? You should certainly hope so if you're a Pirate fan because he has a lot of good stuff, but he's got to figure out how to be consistently getting over the plate and getting ahead of hitters. He can't fall behind because he doesn't have the kind of stuff to dig him out of those deficits. A lot of this is location. A lot of it is just, you know, keeping guys off balance. I think when we first saw him, most people were optimistic that he was going to be somebody who can contribute to this rotation, but then he fell apart completely, as did Ortiz. They need guys like that internally, first and foremost, to step up. They brought in a couple of free agents. To me, they're fourth pitchers, whatever you want to classify them as. They can certainly help. Didn't cost much, low risk. But they need guys internally to do it. And if they can, it would certainly help them. 412-928-9370. We're going to take a break here. We're going to open up the phone lines, and you call with your opinions right here as we go to 1 o'clock before the Pirates and the Detroit Tigers coming your way on all things 93.7. The Fan. And later today, we have Pitt in their final road game, I think, or one of the final road games at Boston College. They need to do some work after losing the other day. They're 9-8 in the ACC. You would think they're going to have to go on a long win streak here through the rest of this regular season into the ACC tournament. We're talking all things Pittsburgh sports. We're right here, 412-928-9370. It's the Bob Pompiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. And it's brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one, Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Shendorovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. 412-928-9370. Before I go to the lines, spoke a lot about this yesterday, but rest in peace, Andy Russell. One of the best people that you will ever have met if you were lucky enough to meet him. Andy Russell was a throwback, two-time Super Bowl champ. He was one of the holdovers when Chuck Noll first came to Pittsburgh and pretty much eviscerated the rest of the roster. He didn't want to keep a lot of people around, but he was one of them to remain. He also became a captain, 7 Pro Bowls, missed some time because he was a military man, started a beautiful business after his career, was as successful with that, just an all-around great person. And as Rick Goslin wrote, and he said this many times over and over, he's a Hall of Famer who doesn't have a gold jacket and a bus. So rest in peace, Andy Russell, just a tremendous person, raised so much money locally here, UPMC concussion program, with his golf tournament. 40 years he hosted it, and it was very widely believed to be one of the best in the area. Brought in a lot of his former NFL players from his day and to take part, and we're going to miss him. Lost a great man yesterday in Andy Russell. All right, let's get to the lines. A lot of people want to talk. We'll go to George in Manesson, who's first. George, welcome to the show at 412-928-9370. What's up?
Good morning, Bob. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, on Kenny Pickett, I can't imagine the amount of pressure he's going to be under this year, you know, to basically sink or swim. And I feel a lot of it is kind of not his fault. I think that the Steelers, when they drafted him, I think they should have put him in there right away. And there's that. And then the fact that this is going to be his third offensive coordinator, I just feel like if he would have been in from the beginning, that would have helped. And I'm hoping, you know, like I said, it's like a sink or swim. If he fails this year, then we're back to square one next year with a quarterback, and basically a number one draft pick is from 3 years ago is like wasted. So that's why I feel maybe we should bring a veteran backup in, and then next year.
Who should that veteran backup be?
I was thinking, you know, a lot of people disagree with this, but I think maybe Tannehill, because he knows the system that the offensive coordinator is in.
Right, and he's no real threat to Kenny Pickett. So I think, George, you're right. They want to find out what he is. Third straight year of an offensive coordinator. It's very similar to what Justin Fields went through in Chicago, which, you know, if you're going to mentioning one of the reasons why he struggled, it could be because he had multiple offensive coordinators. I don't know if that's, you know, legit or not, but it's the truth. And Pickett's had the same situation. So most likely a guy like Tannehill will be there. A lot of people have thrown the name Russell Wilson just because he would come cheap, and he's had success, even though the last few years have been rather up and down. So, again, this is a puzzle that has to be put together pretty soon. And to me, it all starts with Mason Rudolph. If they decide they want to sign him, they make him an offer he likes, he'll come back if he's given the opportunity to start, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if he doesn't, then you know, a lot of things are going to flip wide open here.
And I really want Kenny to succeed, I do. And, you know, I think maybe, you know, and to help him out, I know with the draft, I think this is what they're going to do. I think, you know, you try to beef up the offensive line just – you know, to get him the maximum protection we can get, you know, maybe a center or another guard.
Both. Thank you, George. I got to move along, but I appreciate the call. They're going to need a center, obviously. They got rid of Mason Cole. They're going to move Broderick Jones back to his natural position, but he played well at right tackle. They're going to need right tackle, I think, because Moore's at the end of a contract as well. So there are a lot of things in play there, which is why I think the first two picks will probably be guys in the trenches, unless somebody becomes available who they didn't expect moving forward. But getting back to what I said about, you know, how the Steelers do business, it's through the draft. I mean, they certainly want, and last year was a very good draft, and they got guys who came in and played. How good will be determined in years. But you could look at, you know, the Lions did it very well last year. That's a kind of team that had to do it. They had to start hitting on draft. You can only do so much in free agency without, you know, running out of money in free agency. So if you get guys who are rookies or second-year players contributing big, and they had, Sam Laporta was one of them, set all kinds of records at tight end. Jahmyr Gibbs, a lot of people don't want to take running backs in the first round. He was huge for them. Brian Branch was another one. They got a good draft. They came in immediately, and they played. Back to the lines we go. Sean in Imperial on line three joins us right now. Hey, Sean, what's up?
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. Wanted to focus on the Steelers QB situation and wanted to hit on a couple points that I think are key, and you would know better than anyone else, where, you know, we're about 2 months removed from the season, and the Steelers have put out, you know, plenty of sound bites to cover all bases in terms of what they're interested in at quarterback. They have sound bites out there that Kenny's our guy, first round pick, new offensive coordinator, let's develop him. They have sound bites out there, we want Mason Rudolph back. Khan, the owner, Tomlin, all say they want Rudolph back. So they're definitely talking out of both sides of their mouth, and I think you got to focus on the facts, which is in that must-win Seattle game, Kenny Pickett was a healthy scratch. And then a must-win Baltimore game, he was quote-unquote benched. And then in a must-win, obviously must-win playoff game, again, benched for Mason Rudolph. I think on top of this, though, aside from Rudolph and Pickett, I think this is a very unique situation and year in the NFL draft where you have a generational talent in Caleb Williams. He's going to be the number one choice. Where a team has a guy like Fields who is still a prized prospect. And I think it's malpractice if you don't bring in Russell Wilson or Justin Fields for a cheap price.
Thank you, Sean. A lot of good points there. And listen, they're in a position where they have an aging defense. I think that's well documented. It's a good defense, but it's, you know, guys who've been around for a long time. They want to try to get into a playoff situation where they could be a legitimate championship team. And this offseason will go a long way into that. So, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. Russell Wilson, to me, is a low-risk, potentially high-reward kind of guy, although some people think he won't be a good fit here. As far as Justin Fields, if the price comes down, that was my original point when we started this program today. If the price comes down to where it's a third-round pick only, because Chicago's running out of time and they're running out of teams that want to deal with them. It's pretty obvious. Otherwise, there would have been a trade by now, I think. And they want to go into the draft with clear-mindedness. They want to know what they have. They want to know if they have picks because of it or what it is. So I would imagine in the next week or two, they're going to make a decision there on what they're going to do. And if the price is a third-round pick, that's an intriguing price for someone who has an enormous amount of talent and who's somebody the Steelers were very much interested in the year he was drafted, even though they weren't in a position to get him. Let's go down to the bottom. We got Ken joins us here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Ken, what's going on?
Yeah, Justin Fields. I'm not real impressed
Ken,
with
your cell phone connection's bad. Would you call back, please? Didn't sound very good at all. Let's go to Harry in Westview.
Hey,
Matty
Pomp,
Harkins, put you up there. What's up, Harry?
Hi, Pomp. Hey, you know they got this raised salary cap money. Don't you think they still need a salary cap on quarterbacks? I mean, is this just going to drive prices of quarterbacks up more and more?
I understand why you would say that, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. You know, there are other position players who probably want that to happen to save more money for them.
Right.
But when you have really good quarterbacks and you know the quarterback's the most important position out there, I don't see a day in the next several years where that will be happening.
Now, what about, you know, the one thing I liked when Bill Hillgrove was going out the doors, he said the same thing you said. Teams have to be built on the lines. And I just thought that was kind of unique. I mean, kind of the way it should be, you know?
Well, I mean, that's just, and I know that Both Omar Khan and Andy Weidel like to build from that foundation piece. And, yeah, and Bill Hillgrove, he's one of those guys who has always talked about the importance of the line. He's been around a long time, and we wish him well. We talked a lot about Bill yesterday and the retirement, and the great piece that Jack Hillgrove, his grandson, did on Steelers television. It was really well done, and, boy, what a career for Bill. He's still going hard. I've always told him I admire the passion. You know, he's the Vin Scully of Pittsburgh in terms of just keep going, and he's going to keep doing pit games, which is great to see. So wish Bill all the rest. I know his golf game will get better. So, Bill, if you're listening, I want strokes. 412-928-9370. Vinny is in Springdale, and right now he's on the Fan. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, good morning, Bob. Good talking to you.
You too.
I wanted to ask you a question. I was down Bradenton this week, and I was able to catch Tuesday's and Wednesday's game. And then all of a sudden, he decides to start Skeens at an away game. Can you imagine how disappointed I was?
Well, I can imagine your disappointment, but they can't make decisions based on where people are going to be. You know, he's going to pitch. I hope you stay longer down there, Vinny. You'll maybe catch him on the rebound. But they're doing what's best for him, which is why he only had one inning the other day. I think they're going to take their time with him, and, you know, we'll see where he goes. It was encouraging to see. I get it. You're down there. You want to see certain things. It's just like the NBA situation where they had, multiple guys sit down, rest on nights where I remember last year Steph Curry and company were going to Cleveland to play a game, and people bought tickets in the event, you know, that these guys would be there and play, and a lot of them did not play. And Golden State still won the game, even though most of their players weren't playing in that. So, you know, bottom line is you want to see him, but they have an obligation to their team and the player too. So wherever that fits, that fits. Hopefully you're hanging around down there. You get another chance to see it. You're going to hear Pirate Baseball today right here on the Fan at 1 o'clock following this program. It's the Pirates and Tigers from Lakeland, Florida. We'll take a break. 412-928-9370. Keep the calls coming. Love to hear from you on the Steelers, on the Pirates. What do the Penguins do now that they're sitting there and still digging out? And they're running out of time, although they do have games in hand. We'll talk about it as we continue right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back, 412-928-9370. That is the number to call. Bob Pompiani Show is brought to you by Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway, Cochrane.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. PNC Bank. Also, Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. And Shendorovich, and Fishman. Also want to remind you, the Giant Eagle Feed the Need. The benefit, Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, will be on Tuesday, March 26th. You can donate now at 937thefan.com or text NEED to 50155. It's brought to you by Dollar Bank, Pittsburgh Regional Transit, Wiggle Whiskey, Hampton Beer Outlet, Bill Few Associates, Wealth Management, and Spitzer Toyota. You can use one or more of the following bullet points to hit the message. Last year, 2 million more meals were provided because of an increased need. Parents are telling the Greater Pittsburgh Food Bank that they're skipping meals so their kids can eat. That's unacceptable. 1 in 10 individuals, including 1 in 8 children, are food insecure. So help them at the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. All right, Jim Rutherford spending more money. I just want to throw that out. He had JT Miller to a big deal. Now Elias Pettersson agrees to an 8-year, $92.8 million deal from Vancouver. So they're loading up. They got Brock Besser. They got a lot of guys who are going to get a lot of money. Rutherford's spending it. And he's made some trades also. He brought in Lindholm. You know, they got a good team, although the Penguins just beat him the other day. And the Penguins find themselves, just to update you, the Flyers are still probably the best logical thing the Penguins can hope for. That is third place in the Metropolitan Division. That's because the Penguins have 4 games in hand on the Flyers, who right now sit with 69 points. The Penguins are 7 behind them, 7 points. Got to make good on those extra if you still believe they're a team that can get to the playoffs. The wild card seems a little bit too daunting to me. Detroit has 72 points. Tampa Bay, 70 points. Tampa Bay's up and down. You never know what you're going to get from them. But again, back-to-back games this weekend. It's going to be one of the games in hand. You got to win both of them, I think. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Ken in Charlotte, North Carolina, who had a bad cell connection. Ken, hopefully this is better.
Yeah, I fixed the other one. I turned the phone off and restarted and cleared out some cookies or whatever.
You don't like cookies?
Hey, well, I love cookies, but I can't have them. what I want to say about Justin Fields is I don't like him even for a third-round pick because it just reminds me too much of Mitch Trubisky 2.0. I don't like taking somebody from another team who hasn't succeeded with that team. We don't have an offensive guru that we can say, oh, this guy's going to fix him. And so if I was going to take Justin Fields, I wouldn't do it if it was going to chase away Mason. I like Mason. I like somebody that can throw the deep ball and connect. And so I would do it only, say we give him a fifth round, and it's known that he's only coming here and it's going to be a competition. He's not being given anything. The other thing I think is Kenny Pickett typically gets better every year. And so I am looking for Pickett to make a jump up, but I'm also not counting on it.
Well, I don't know if you can say that about last year. I thought he regressed as the year went on until they made a change at offensive coordinator. He only had one shot at that. So there is, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. But I thought he actually went backwards last year.
Well, and I can't disagree with that. But I'm thinking about his Pitt career where, you know, he seemed to progress every year until that senior year when he really took off. And again, I'm not counting on it. I just don't think Justin Fields is the answer. I'd rather probably get a veteran cheaper who, you know, I felt like was going to be okay if it was a competition and if he ended up as a backup.
Thank you, Ken, for the call down there in Charlotte. I hear that to some degree, but I also know this. Every now and then you get a chance at picking up someone at very low cost, where the risk is very low based on that cost, but the return could be huge. And I'm not saying that he is this man, but what I am saying, and he's 24 years old, he's actually younger than Kenny Pickett. And in his 3 years with Chicago, yes, he had turnoveritis. He made a lot of bad throws, but he does have the arm strength to get it down the field. You know, if you look at the raw numbers, 6,674 passing yards in 3 years. How about over 2,200 rushing yards, the mobility factor? 40 passing touchdowns and 14 rushing touchdowns. That's an element to me that sounds like there is a lot of untapped talent there. It just needs to be harnessed a little bit and done within the context of an offense that has a good running game and some potential wideout talent there as well, if they can improve the offensive line. I don't know. All I'm suggesting is, you may not get many opportunities like this moving forward. In other words, just somebody who falls through the cracks, nobody wants because there are not many openings. He costs too much potentially with a fifth-year option. However, the return could be huge. And Omar Khan said, you know, his number one thing is to try to make the team better at all avenues. Is this part of what they're thinking? Or do they, you know, if you double down on Pickett and it doesn't work out, now you're going to be searching for this potential here moving forward. I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. I do know that I'm intrigued with Fields, although I do recognize how much inaccuracy he has at times, and again, turning the ball over, which is critical for a team that was 10-28 during his time in Chicago, if he's no longer there. Let's go to the counselor who joins us on the cell. Counselor, welcome to the Bob Pompeiani Show. How are you?
Hi, Bob. My thought on the Pirates is this. I still think they need to convert Jared Triolo to an outfielder. If they're not going to let Davis, he's a catcher. That's it. Okay, fine. But there's three people vying for second base. You know, Pagero and Gonzalez. I think they need to convert Triolo, because I like his bat too, to an outfielder. I think he can do it, but, you know, they don't have anybody. I'm not impressed with Oliveras or whatever that guy. Yeah,
Edward Oliveras. Well, I mean, he had some success with St. Louis. He's, you know, he gives you some veteran at-bats. As far as Triolo, I am intrigued. You know, people forget he's still pretty young. He has a lively bat, and he's shown that he could be a gold glove caliber third baseman. To me, there's no doubt he could probably play first base. If they're looking for someone, maybe for now, and I know they brought in Rowdy Tellez for a one-year deal, but you know, they may want a platoon, and this is the thing about a team that's still emerging, maybe, is there's too much platooning going on in a lot of key positions. You want to be eventually like the Dodgers or the Braves in that you have a lineup you know you're going to see every single night, with very few exceptions. And right now they don't have that.
Well, I still say, you know, if you're going to try and you want one of those other two second basemen, And you have tomorrow Johnson, too. There's another second baseman. Okay? I believe you should look at converting Triolo to the outfield and get a he's the right field. I mean, that's just my opinion going forward, to get him a bat, no, not just lefty platoon of bats, you know what I mean, when a lefty's pitching. I think his bat's good enough that he can play against both.
Thanks, Counselor. Appreciate it. We'll see. I mean, he's going to get opportunities to see what he has. You know, they have a lot of, you know, platoon guys on their team. I want to see more guys who take over positions, and you don't have to worry about platoon. You put them out there, the lineup's easy. You don't have to shuffle your lineup 85 times. Another guy you didn't mention, but he's eventually going to be, if he lives up to this, is Sungchae Ching. He is their second baseman. He's an infield prospect who played for, I think, the Taiwan baseball team in the World Baseball Classic. Anyway, he had a 423-foot home run. He's supposed to be, they moved him to Altoona at the end of last year, I believe. And this is another guy you're going to throw into it. But at some point, someone has to emerge as your everyday second baseman, to me. And I'm not sure at this point. Peguero may be it. You know, they've used Jiwon Bae over there. They use a lot of people. But you got to have somebody who just takes that position and runs with it. Let's go to Frank in Chippewa right now on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Bob. You got the golf clubs out? You ready?
Oh, they've been out. I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'll ever be ready. What is ready? In golf, it's like whatever your idea of ready. I just want to get out, play, have fun. I think it's a great therapy to put the phone away, not look at it, get out there, fresh air, walk. I don't care how bad or good I play, although I try to be good.
Yeah. No, I enjoy it. You know, I'm not a scratch golfer by any means, but if I shoot a 90, 92, I'm happy and never get mad on the golf course. You're right. But real quick, I wanted to talk about why haven't the Steelers got a couple more players? You know, Allen Robinson seems like a no-brainer, but I heard that they liked him and they might want to try to restructure along with Cam. But I would cut Patrick Peterson also and I'd like to bring in Jordan Whitehead in free agency. I think he'd be an upgrade over Peterson. He's bigger, stronger, younger. What are your thoughts on that?
I wouldn't mind that. I think they have money that they can actually get rid of at this point. And Peterson would be somebody who, you know, especially if they draft somebody who is, on the – and remember, they have Corey Trice coming back from an injury. And I'm not so sure how good or bad he can be, because we never got a shot to see him. But they thought he – and in college he was a good – playmaker. So they may want to save money there. They will restructure Cam, I believe. And, they're going to have to. Allen Robinson, to me, will be a cap casualty. They're just not going to keep him around. I don't think he was what they thought he could be. Good veteran guy to help maybe the young guys, but they got to come up with cash in other positions. So there'll be some of that going on.
Yeah, I just was wondering what's taken so long, because I guess you can't tamper anyways, right? We got another 2 weeks.
I never understood. Right. They call this the legal tampering. Isn't that an oxymoron right there? I mean, what is legal tampering versus if you're willing to accept legal tampering, I got to believe illegal tampering is going on as we speak.
Oh, it was going on right after the season.
Yeah, there's no question. There are ways they can circumvent all this, and they figure out what they want to figure out. Whatever gets to legal tampering. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, hit them straight, buddy. Have a good year.
All right, Frank, thank you. Appreciate that. You do the same at 412-928-9370. All right, we have another hour here, and then we're going to have Pirate Baseball coming your way today. Ronzi Contreras will be on the mound. He's another project that they need to hopefully see develop very quickly, because he came here with high hopes. Did not happen last year. Maybe, the one thing, Matty Harkins, I always tell people, sometimes – success is only possible through a lot of failure. You know, people think that it's immediate, like you bring somebody in and they're immediately, I don't care how highly their draft, what you think of them. Sometimes you got to go through some bad times to appreciate the good times, And I think some of these guys have done that now. Contreras, maybe he's learned something from what happened to him last year. I certainly hope so. Priester would be the same. And if that happens, the Pirates will be a better team because of it, given the strength of their bullpen, I think. So, you got to go through, and that's why I don't like to write people off so quickly. It's easy to call people busts a year or two after you expect things from. Just give them some time. Let's see what happens. Now, maybe they will be. Maybe they won't be. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. It's time to check out Fan Weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. Save some green in March at Sun Chevy or sunchevy.com. Today, Periods of rain, drizzle. This will linger into the early afternoon, but the temperature will be rising 53 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low of 41. Tomorrow, warm clouds. We're approaching 70 degrees with a high of 67, which means a lot of people will be out doing stuff tomorrow afternoon. All right, we have another full hour coming up. Make sure you tune in. Make sure you call. You can also hit me up on Twitter at KD Pomp and join us tomorrow night for the number one Cochran Sports Showdown, 11:35 KDKA after the late news. Coming up, it's a headline, and then we'll take more calls until 1 o'clock right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan.